I get paid large sums of money to kill children. I'll let that horrific sentence sink in before I tell you what I really do for a living. More specifically, I move children from horrific situations with parents, guardians, and wicked people, and place them with someone who will watch over them, take care of them, not want them dead. How and why do I do this? We'll get back to the nitty-gritty in a bit. For now, how much money to kill my daughter? I frowned and stared at the man. Without an answer, I walked to his office desk and sat down in the guest chair and motioned for him to join me. I put my satchel on the floor within easy reach. He took his time, trying to seem casual, walking around his desk and dropping into his chair. I noticed things. A picture of his daughter was on the filing cabinet to my right. His hands were shaking, and he couldn't make eye contact. He was sweating, despite the air turned down low, and when I'd first walked into his office, I noticed his secretary was not at her desk. John Caruso was one of the big-shot lawyers in Philadelphia, but I would be stupid not to do my job and figure out the background of a potential client before we met. This guy had a couple of red flags, and I was going to have my due diligence with John before we went any further. I chuckled without humor and sat up in the chair. If I'm not mistaken, you just asked me how much to kill your daughter? He nodded, his hands on the desk. When he moved his right hand to his phone on the desk, he stopped, his hand shaking. John was wearing a dress shirt. It most likely cost as much as my entire wardrobe, especially what I was wearing. He was sweating so badly I could see his chest hair through it. Me? I was calm and casual. In the movies, the killer is always dressed smartly. Expensive Italian suits, diamond-studded watch, shoes like butter, and worth the cost of a Porsche. I was wearing a pair of jeans I'd bought at Walmart, a black t-shirt that came in a pack of three, and boat shoes. Very comfortable, but not butter comfortable. The most expensive thing I wore was the gold chain and cross around my neck, a gift from my deceased mother. The pen on this guy's desk cost more than everything I had on, even if you added in the cash from my wallet. I was sure his phone had every app imaginable to mankind, and he didn't worry about his monthly bill.
"Don't play with me, Mr. Aaron. You know exactly why you're here," John said.
He sat up and his hands stopped shaking. I knew the look on his face. He thought he had me. This little weasel thought he was back in control. I turned my head and looked around the room. When I turned back to him, he looked confused. "I need water. Is there any way, before we begin the transaction that will change your life, you can get me a glass of water?" I asked.
Sure. I have bottled water."
I smiled and tried to fake warmth for this snake. "Actually, a tall glass of water is better. I don't even need it cold. I just need a lot of water." I touched my lips. "I get very thirsty doing this. You understand, right?"
"I have tap water," he said.
"Perfect." John nodded and went out of the office and into his bathroom. I scooped up his phone and sliced my finger across it, unlocking it quickly. These big shots were all the same. They'd spend thousands of dollars on home security, but set their passwords to their computers so an 8-year-old could crack it, and never put anything safety-wise on their cell phone. I wasn't tech-savvy at all, but I'd paid a lot of money to learn the tricks I needed to learn over the years. I knew enough to keep me from getting backed into a corner or caught doing something stupid. I found what I was looking for, but didn't bother doing anything with it. I knew the score now. John returned with the water and I sat up. I'd put his phone back but made sure it was moved half a foot to the right, away from him. He noticed it right away and looked like he was about to run. I put a finger to my lips and stood, taking the glass of water and taking a sip. John didn't move. The side of his mouth twitched when I picked up his cell phone. "I think we got off to a bad start, Mr. Caruso. You mistook me for someone else. Someone bad.